Relationships rule. That's my motto. I'm Janice Porter, and I love to share the power of relationship marketing to help grow and impact business. I've grown my business by building and nurturing relationships, and I'd like to help you do the same. Welcome to the Relationships Rule podcast, where connection means everything. Hello, hello, and welcome to this week's episode of Relationships Rule, the podcast in which we explore how strong relationships drive success in business and life. Today, my guest is Gunnar Hood, a digital strategist and AI consultant based in Oklahoma City. He is the owner of a WSI franchise and a partner in a global AI upskilling initiative, and he helps small to mid-sized B2B companies use technology to do something unexpected, build better human connections. Gunnar is known for translating complex technology into simple tools that help people get their jobs done faster without losing the human touch. And in this conversation, Gunnar and I will explore how AI can save you time, improve productivity, and how you communicate, as well as giving you back what matters most, your ability to be present, connect more deeply, and lead with intention. Wow, I know that was a lot, but welcome to the show, Gunnar.
Well, thank you for inviting me to be here, Janice. I'm very excited to join you for this conversation.
Thank you. I actually wanted to make sure I got in there that you translate complex technology into simple tools that help people get their jobs done faster, because I've experienced that in many ways with you in one of the places where we met, which is a group that is kind of a support for us LinkedIn trainers, which you were more back before, I think you got more into AI. But anytime you speak on there, you always make things seem easy, more easily understood. So that's what I really appreciate about what you do. So I really think that you're the best person to talk about AI with.
Well, it's something I enjoy talking with. And if I can help make it simpler for people, I consider that a win.
Exactly. So that's great. So, okay. Well, I guess I want to ask, first of all, what drew you to exploring AI as a support tool rather than, you know, a competition? Because lots of people are so, you know, still not sure about AI. And those of us who have embraced it in different ways, the way I see you using it is like very different to what I've already experienced. So what drew you to that?
I've really embraced technology throughout my entire career, first in the corporate world, and then as I moved into digital marketing. And part of my goal is, how can I bring people along on this journey at the same time? For people on the digital marketing side, if they didn't understand it, how can I educate them? And how can we use technology to get more things done? As AI came out really to the forefront a couple of years ago, I saw it as both an enabler, you know, that it can augment our capabilities. But I also looked at it and said, this can be transformative in industries. And, you know, I want to be part of that journey and help people along. And yeah, it'll probably help my marketing business too. So why not do both?
Got it. Okay. Well, one of your core ideas is that AI can make business more human, believe it or not. So what does that mean in practice?
You know, it's funny because it's kind of counterintuitive, isn't it?
Yes, yes.
People go, well, it's just technology. It does things for us. But, you know, when you think about it, is we all struggle with time. You know, we leave the office, we've got 10 things on our mind. Maybe you've got kids playing sports and you're thinking about business on the sidelines, watching them. It's consuming. Well, if AI can take away some of those tasks, those repetitive tasks that don't add value, now we're freeing up time, and that time can be used in many ways. In some cases, more client-facing time. So you can spend relationship-building time with people or with your family as well, because it's giving you back the time.
That's true. That's totally true. So what kind of tasks do you see AI handling best for freeing up that time?
You know, these are primarily knowledge worker tasks that we're looking at, anything from reporting. And the easy thing I suggest that people do is just make a tick sheet on a daily basis of what do you find yourself doing repetitively day after day? that is usually your place to start. Is how can, and the easy way to do it is just simply ask AI, I'm trying to do this, I'm struggling with that, how can you help me?
Okay.
And, you know, so whether it's a report or emails or things like that, and by flipping the question in that direction, what you find is that you haven't limited AI, you've enabled it to tell you all the different ways. And generally people will say, my gosh, when I asked it that question, it came back with five things I had never thought of.
Yeah, that I've experienced that. And actually, even this morning, I was going to write an email to somebody I hadn't talked to for a while to share something with them about one of the projects that I'm working on. And, you know, I never like to start with, hi, I hope this note finds you well, or, you know, that's horrible
giveaway.
Stuff. Yeah, that I have totally told AI not to ever say so that it can jump in. But I wanted it to give me some context to make it get to the point, but do it in a friendly conversational way. And right away when I asked it, because I feel like it knows me now, it says it will, yes, I can do that in a conversational, relatable manner or whatever that it said, because it knows my style already. So I feel comfortable that I just have to tweak it a little bit once I've got the rhythm of what I wanted to say, and it gave me that. So I think that does save me time.
And you've picked up on something important. In the last 2 months, if you're using ChatGPT, you've noticed something that did change. It used to be that memory was selective and only certain things, but now it's entirely collective unless you say, do not remember this. And the beauty of that is now most of your answers are more contextual and relevant to your circumstances. And as you said, it learns how to speak like you.
Is fascinating to me. Fascinating. So you work with personality profiles like the DISC personality types. How does AI help us communicate better with different types of people?
Well, you know, have you ever found yourself struggling to or walk away from a conversation feeling like I really didn't feel like that went well, or that I got my point across? I mean, I think back to even the corporate world before I learned about DISC, there would be conversations I have, neither one of us connected.
And after you know I took it. DISC I mean, training, it's so awkward, right? It's so awkward.
Yeah. And after I took DISC training, the light bulb went off and goes, oh my God, we are exact opposites on the DISC profile. And now it's that process or that communication tool has allowed me to adapt how I speak, the questions that I ask, to the type of style they prefer. And the beauty with AI is it understands the DISC profile. So I'll give you a great example of something. I was asked to do a proposal for marketing services for an organization. And, you know, I use all kinds of AI tools from Otter to capture, you know, recordings of our conversations and things. Then I can run it through AI and say, help me understand what this person's DISC profile is. And it looks at the transcription and says, okay, I think that they communicate this way. Great, I'm writing up this proposal. Here's kind of the first draft. How can we adapt this in two ways? One, for their industry, and two, to align with their DISC profile. Boom, easy, simple revisions, comes back. And then before I even send it, I go, okay, now let's also create an email in the same style that accompanies the proposal so it's more likely to get read. Boom, I had an appointment set not long after that.
Wow. Now, was your DISC profile in the system as well?
Yes, I think I've told it several times.
Okay.
I probably just need to make it part of my default.
Right. Interesting. I mean, that's another whole topic, but it that's the thing. The more information that we can outline and give it, the better it helps us moving forward. So I love that. You've said that AI can prevent burnout by simplifying work. What do you mean by that? And how can our listeners try that? Because I think you started to show me that the other day. And I do want to mention the thing that you helped me with, but let's do this first.
Sure. So I have yet to meet somebody who works in their job and tells me that they love every single aspect of what they do.
Right.
There's things that we have to do at times that we don't necessarily enjoy doing, and they suck energy out of us.
Right.
And so, if those are the types of tasks that we can delegate to our assistant, if you
Yeah.
will,
Yeah.
then, that restores time for us to do the creative things that we enjoy, the things that give us energy and make us more productive. There was a super cool study done by Harvard and Procter and Gamble recently. They ran a test with 700 employees, broken into a couple of groups: individuals who used AI, teams, and teams who used AI. And there were some surprising things. The not surprising thing was it saved time. They found that one individual with AI could outperform a team without AI.
That's cool.
But what they found is the teams working with AI were even more collaborative than the teams without it. And it actually improved communication and optimism within the company, something that's counterintuitive because a lot of people go, well, if they start using AI, they're going to worry about their jobs. These
Right.
people were engaged by it and more excited about what they could do with it. So it was kind of counterintuitive.
Yeah, that is. And also, that reminds me that you talked about, you and I talked about some companies that were now like making it mandatory to learn AI because they see the power that it can have with their companies. Can you share one of those stories with me?
So the first one that kind of really broke the news was Shopify. The CEO
Right.
of Shopify came out and said, from this point forward, all employees are expected to have reflexive AI skills, which means it's like a second language to them. And it will become part of their performance reviews. And before anybody submits a request to hire somebody, they have to prove why AI can't do that task. And that sounds maybe a little terse to some people going, oh, that's just like the wrong way of thinking. But if you put it into the context that this company is growing 20 to 40% of a year, you can't just keep throwing people at the equation. You have to find ways to scale differently. And for them, they are a technology company. AI is going to be their scaling partner, if you will.
So that's where people like you, who embrace the digital and learn it to different extents, or to a greater extent, can help companies do that, do exactly that, find their ways of saving time, therefore saving money, therefore saving manpower as well. By using AI in a lot of ways that I hadn't even thought about. So that does bring me now to where you gave me an example of how one podcast, like I know that one podcast episode can be used to I can repurpose the content, but I've never done it because it's like one more thing that I have to learn in terms of technology or, like the little thing that'll help me with a video clips and things like that. It just gives me a headache. However, you showed me how it could become you called it a content ecosystem using AI. So can you share that example? Because you can share it better than I can.
The thing is that anytime you come up against a challenge, so we started with the question of, hey, I want to accomplish this, but I'm struggling with that. How can you help me? It's a
Right.
great starting point. So in this case, I want to be able to publish more content, but I'm struggling with how to take what I've got and turn it into other content. How can you help me? And that's where AI can break it down and say, well, we can easily create a list of blog articles, which can also be social media posts and shorter versions and so forth. And it all ties back to potentially the podcast and drives traffic there. So it, and then it's a matter of, having it ask you questions about which social channels do you want to appear on. And I
Right.
know LinkedIn is at the
Yeah.
top of the list, but there's some others too that might be important. And you can even ask it to frame the content in ways that are meaningful to those audiences on those channels. because each one is different. If you take LinkedIn content and throw it on Facebook, it's not going to resonate the same way, and vice versa. And so it has the ability to kind of do apply those filters for you and help you do that. So the example I was given is one of my colleagues on the AI side said, you know, I need to create content for LinkedIn to talk about AI. And they used a tool that helped them go through this process. And in the matter of maybe less than 30 minutes, they had 3 months worth of content created for them.
Wow.
And, you know, it was just, they gave it the topics, said, here's the general lanes that we want to swim in. Let's create some content. They did a little bit of refinement and they were super happy with the outcome of that.
So then the question comes up for me is, does it sound like it's AI or generated, or does it sound like that person? So that's where you have to really work at it, right? To teach it your style.
So this is where the simplification needs to come in, because if we just inherently trust AI with everything, you're going to have those emails that come out and start out with, I hope this finds you well. And so if instead we think of AI in terms of a intern that has come to work for you, you wouldn't just hand off all of your work to the intern and say, get it done.
Well, I'm such a control freak that I'm having trouble ever having a VA do it for me, but I feel safer somehow with AI.
Yeah. I mean, because you can have more context and it has bigger memory than maybe the VA does. But if you treat it like an intern, you have to kind of coach and oversee the work of the intern until it gets to a level that meets your standards. And it can repeat that over and over again. And if people recognize that that's the opportunity, but now they have access to an unlimited supply of interns at really no cost, the impact becomes huge in that sense. I can have an intern to write these posts. I can have an intern to do this with podcasts. I can have an intern do this. You still have to supervise them for a period of time. And that's what we call the human in the loop.
The human in the loop. Okay. Like that. Yeah.
Or supervisor, either one.
Yeah. Oh, that's good. Yeah. So it's I guess it's a question. Do you find when you're starting out with companies, the people in the companies that you are sharing this with, training them on, however, or do you mostly do you do it with people or for people?
With.
Okay.
My goal is to help them learn how to use it and become self-sufficient.
Right. So when you're starting out with these people, and I'm sure there's a more than one answer to this, but are they resistant? Are they afraid of it? Because I think there would be some of that with people.
We have a spectrum that we use to try and assess where people are. Think of the 5 stages of grief. Well, we've taken that model and we've applied it to AI adoption to where I guess you could say the first level is ignorance, in a sense that they just have like discarded it altogether. The second level is fear.
Yeah.
You know, is it coming to take my job? I don't want it to do these things. I don't trust it, that sort of thing. Yeah. The third level is really embarrassment of sorts, because once they realize what it can do, it's kind of like, oh my gosh, I could have been doing this all along, or I don't want to tell anybody I'm doing this. Then you start to build up confidence after that, to where it's like, hey, Janice, let me show you what I just did. This is super
right.
cool.
That's me. Yeah.
And then you get to the transformation stage where they're thinking AI almost first on every application that they have to use to go, how can AI help me do this? And so, it's kind of a 5 stages of grief process.
Yeah. Yeah.
But yeah, we find people at all levels of the spectrum, because sometimes you fear what you don't understand. So if we can help them understand it, we can break down the barriers.
Yeah, that's very well. Well, now, did you ask AI to create that 5-step, what did you call it? Spectrum?
Yeah. So in actuality, yes, because one of the cool things AI can do is it can take known frameworks and models and adapt them to different circumstances. And in that case, we adapted the 5 stages of grief and the books that it was based on into the
Elizabeth Kubler-Ross. Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah. Okay, that's very cool. So I asked it actually the other day if it could do something for me, and it couldn't. And it gave me a couple of apps to go look at to help them. So what I wanted to do, and I don't know if I could have done it a different way. So I was at a training, a video training on Saturday on Zoom, and the person was demoing on their phone how to do this, this, and this. And it was going too fast, right? I'm a visual learner, but I also like to have the steps organized for me. So I was wondering how it could take that video and write the steps for me, but it couldn't because I don't think it could see the video, even though I gave it the link to the video on Facebook or on somewhere. And so I'm under or overestimating what it can do. Why couldn't it do that for me? That's what I was thinking.
And so there are limitations to what it can do, but today is the worst that AI will ever be.
Yes.
And so what may not be possible today might very well be possible a week from now. So
Right.
ways that you could accomplish that is you can have it transcribe it. So depending on how articulate the presenter was, it might be able to break down the steps. Also, if it knows what tools or system the demonstrator was using, it can reference those online guides potentially and pull out those steps and detail those for you as well.
Yeah, I think I asked it to transcribe it and it couldn't. So that to me meant it couldn't read it, the video. It couldn't watch the video or something. So I don't know. Anyway, I'll work on that next week again and see what happens. But it's fascinating. It really is. Do you use different AI tools for different things?
I do. I mean,
Okay.
that's kind of a job risk, if you will, that you're
Yeah.
constantly looking at new technologies. And I do it because I'm looking for what is the right solution for some people. And some of the clients that I work with live in the Microsoft environment. And so that means Copilot is usually going to
Yes.
be their default. It's not necessarily the best,
Yes.
but it's better than nothing for them,
Yes. Yes.
especially if they use it.
Yeah.
And so usually the way that I'll guide clients is don't go out and buy a bunch of different large language model tools. And by
Right.
that, I mean Copilot and ChatGPT and
Right.
Google Gemini and Claude Anthropic. They're all really good and they're just leapfrogging each other right now to the point that, yes, if somebody comes up with a new advancement, the other ones will be there shortly. So
Right.
the best thing that you can do is just pick one model and stick with it and learn it.
That's the way I felt about it. Okay, that's good to know. Okay. But then you have to know more than one so that you can help teach it, right?
Well, a lot of the stuff that we teach is platform agnostic.
Oh,
Copilot is a slightly
okay.
different version, but most of what we train people on can work in any platform.
Oh, okay. Well, then that's good. All right. And so just break this down for me a little bit. So I'm on Chat GPT. That's the one I've chosen because it was shown to me first, and I'm now understanding some of it. It's taken me a while for some of the technical stuff, like, oh my God, I can't find that prompt again or that answer again that it gave me. So now I finally have learned between custom chat GPTs and projects. Now I know the difference, and now I can finally deal with that, which is, I think, important, but I don't know, is it to you? Like,
Oh, very much. When they
okay.
launched projects, that was huge for two reasons. One, now you have file folders that you can put things in.
Right.
And when you create things within those projects, they stay in there and they ignore what's outside of those. So I work with a lot of clients, so I can create project folders for each client that doesn't get influenced by what we do for another client.
That's brilliant.
And so,
Okay.
and plus, you can have specific instructions and knowledge articles that you attach to each project. So you talk about tonality. Maybe this client likes this tonality and this messaging and so forth. Those instructions can remain with that particular project. So it's very helpful.
Okay, so where are those instructions put? Is it in the basic chat field when you start asking it for that client? Because then you're going to save it in that project folder.
When you first create a project folder, you will see two things underneath the chat input window or the query window. And that is on the right-hand side are the instructions, and the left-hand side is the knowledge articles that you can attach.
On a new folder. Okay, we'll come to that later. I just want to review that.
Yeah.
I think there's two ways. I'm not sure I'm missing something here. Okay.
And a nice little add-on that they did just recently is if you had previous chats, you know, that you did outside of a project, you can now drag many of those into the folder. The exception that I found is if it was the result of a custom GPT, you can't drag that one in.
Yeah, that's all I've learned, but I haven't learned the project, setting up the project parameters, I guess. Okay, that makes sense. See, there's always something new. And so when you just said, okay, they've just added something new, where do they tell, do they tell you that anywhere?
Yeah, OpenAI has like a news and update area, but I also monitor several podcasts that talk about what's going on. And we, within WSI, every Monday, we have what we call an AI meetup. And so we've got an AI division that's also monitoring for all the things that are happening out there and keeping us on top of it.
And then you share it with your audience.
When it's appropriate, yeah. I don't want to overwhelm it just by saying, here's all the new stuff, but if it's...
No. You wouldn't do that. That's what I love about when you explain something, you can dumb it down, so to speak, for the masses.
Well, sometimes I have to ask AI to do that for me.
Oh, okay. Interesting. Yeah, because you are so comfortable with it. Okay. So where does someone start? So they start, I think, by figuring out what tasks, like you said, they can give to an intern, so to speak, and what to free them up. So when they do that, they can build those charts or those instructions for each task for someone else to do or for AI to do.
Yeah, in fact, AI can even help create those standard operating procedures
that you can talk
to other people.
Yeah.
From a starting point, the best thing I can do is say, do something, even if it's just personal. And an example that has resonated with my audiences over time is, you know, we're all at a conference and it's like some people are local, they have to go home, their family's hungry, they got to prepare dinner, and they're like, I don't know what to do. It's like, just take ChatGPT on your phone, open up your fridge and take a picture of the contents of your fridge. And then say, hey, I've got some chicken. What, based on the contents of my fridge, what's a meal I could prepare for a family of four?
Like,
and it will give you some ideas and then give you the actual ingredient mixtures and instructions to prepare the meal. So it takes the thinking out of the process. That one assignment, I got a lot of feedback from, said, that was the most helpful thing that you shared, which was kind of embarrassing because I thought I had a lot of good stuff. But, but the important thing is they did it. And now they had a new understanding of, here's one thing that ChatGPT can do for me or any of the models that I didn't know was possible.
Yeah.
And it gets them more curious about what else can I do with it?
Yeah.
And my clients have said, the more I use AI, the more I use it. It is just a perpetual motion thing.
I actually have had a friend who, she's retired. She's not in the banking world anymore. She's just, she's enjoying life as a grandma and travels somewhat. And she said she wanted to go on this next trip. And she said, I want you to show me how to use ChatGPT. And I said, okay, bring your iPad over and let's do a project. Let's do, where do you want to go? She said, Ireland. I said, okay, let's do that. Let's do the trip to Ireland in ChatGPT. And it will ask you questions based on, you know, how long do you want to be there? Can you, you know, what kind of activities can you tolerate? And like, she can't walk very far. She's got bad knees. And it did all of this for her, included a 3-week itinerary based on all the questions that it asked her. And she thinks I'm a guru now. She thinks like that is unbelievable what that did, what that brought up for us. And she said, and now she's showing all her friends how it did that and how Janice showed her how to do that. I'm like, oh my goodness. But It took her, though, from being fearful, like you said, that fear of what is it, to like, oh my goodness, this is amazing what it can do. And now she's starting to ask it other questions. And I love that. And so I guess in my own way, I'm able to help some people as well around AI when they don't have a clue and are fearful of what it is. So, and that was just the, you know, we set her up with a free account for that purpose to see what it could do. So yeah, I've never done the fridge thing though. That's kind of fun.
So you're at the confidence or beyond stage, helping those at earlier stages in the process, which is ideal.
I can only do what I can do. Then I send them to you. Yeah, it's all good. So before we wrap up, I just have to share with my audience a couple of things that you and I talked about before this episode, because we've known each other a little bit through, as I said earlier, the common bond we have with Bryn Tillman and her group. And then I find out that you live in Oklahoma City and that you are an OK Thunder fan. And that to me was like the bond that did it all, because we're a basketball family and I love basketball. And I know that you've done some work for them, but which came first, the love of basketball and the being the fan, or getting the work with them?
I was a Thunder fan from the time that it was the Hornets here on reassignment from Hurricane Katrina.
Okay,
In
yeah.
fact, I've got a picture of me down on the floor with the game ball as like the whatever the fan champion or something for
Yeah.
that game, standing beside, I don't think it was Chris Paul at the time, but it was a couple of the Hornets, well, one from the Hornets, and I think it was the Jazz were playing that night. And so, I mean, we embraced them early on and have been fans all along, even through the tough years. But it was a bit of a dream come true to actually work with the back office
Yeah.
for several months last year. And a great anecdote about that is, you sense the culture in an organization, and everything that we've seen about the current team that just doesn't make sense to people is how well they get along.
Yeah.
There's no prima donnas on the team.
No,
Everybody is there to
because they
support
were
each
all
other.
starting again, right? That the team was starting with fresh blood. Yeah.
And that same culture exists throughout the organization. It's just the way that they're built. And I was doing a virtual call with the team one day, and the mascot shows up.
Yeah.
And what really tickled me was the fact that the mascot comes and like photo bombs several of their desks while we're on the session. And they're just as excited about it as the fans are when they see the mascot in the stadium. And it's like, that really says a lot about these
It
guys.
does. That's great. I know. And you know, there's just, I didn't ask you this though. Did you ever play, or do you have kids? Did they play basketball? Anything? No.
I'm a horrible athlete. I'm a better geek.
You're a good armchair athlete then. Yes, armchair basketball player. My dad was the armchair quarterback of the world. Yeah, it's pretty exciting. And we don't have a team here. We had a team here, then they went to Memphis, right? So we cried a lot. Now we just root for the Raptors, and the Raptors are in a rebuild as well, and so we're hoping they made it to the semifinals in the summer league last week, and then they blew it playing Sacramento. No, what's the other, or Portland? No, Sacramento was one of those two that made it to the finals. OK was in the finals too, but I don't think they won. I can't remember. Anyway, see, I stopped watching when the Raptors bowed out in the semifinals. But anyway, but I miss basketball. We watch it all year, like all us, the season's long, but the summer, no, you know, it's different
It's time to
without
get out and
football.
enjoy the outdoors in the
That's
summer
right.
where you
That's
live.
right. And we do that. But that was fun, and I wanted to share that with my audience, because I love that we can find, again, with relationships in business, if we can find a common bond and something that we can talk about that isn't business, that brings the relationship, I think, closer.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah. So So I thank you for your time. I thank you for being here and for reminding us that AI isn't about doing more, it's about doing what matters. And whether you're leading a team, running a business, or simply trying to stay present with the people around you, the right tech used intentionally can help you show up better. And I know, Gunnar, that you have kindly offered free access to the AI Workflow Practitioner certification that your company offers, a beginner-friendly program designed to help entrepreneurs and professionals learn how to use AI to save time and boost productivity. And I'm probably going to take it because it sounds really fascinating. And I want you to share with us where they can find that and a little bit about whatever you want to say about it.
Yeah, so as we talked about the five stages that people go through, some of those the fear is, I don't know what I don't know. So can we offer them something to get them moving forward? It's safe. I mean, nobody's going to know but them. So why not try it out? And so we built this 9-module workflow practitioner course because what we're trying to introduce people to is the use of intentional workflows to get specific work done. And that helps them start to think about if I break down my job into specific tasks to be done, I can build workflows to address those specific tasks. And now I've got the standard operating procedures or things that I can hand off to other people. And so it's a great exercise or set of tools to help them do that. Now, these are not necessarily daily tasks for people, but they're a little bit higher level in terms of strategy. You could use one to help develop onboarding guidelines for people in the organization, things like that. They give you kind of a mix across multiple dimensions of an organization. And it's a starting point, and you can get a certification out of it. And normally we would charge $1,000 for it, but we want more people engaged. And this is a way for us to do that and say, we've benefited from it. You can too.
Love it. And where can they find that? And I'll put it in the show notes. I think you
Yep.
told me.
So I created a link for your listeners. It's just simply gunnarhood.com, and my name is spelled with an A. So it's GunnarHood.com/RRP.
Relationships Rule podcast. Love it.
That is
Thank you.
exactly it. If
Right.
you go there, you'll find it.
And they also, by that, can see that your website, gunnarhood.com, they can check you out there and they can also check you out on LinkedIn, I'm sure.
If
Yes.
they just go to gunnarhood.com, they'll see links that go to like my WSI website for digital marketing, things like that, where we've got other free AI resources. They'll see links across all of that, but the RRP will take them right to the certification scholarship.
Perfect. Much appreciated. Your favorite quote I want you sent to me. What is it? Do you remember?
Yeah, success will come to those who learn new technology the fastest versus old technology the best.
I love it. And your business advice?
Is learn to be adaptable and resourceful.
Perfect. So thank you for your time here. And to my listeners, again, I think that if you liked this conversation, do let us know and pursue more because we want you to learn AI and stay with the program, stay with the advances in technology because it'll help you. It helps all of us do things better and faster and still staying relationship driven. So thank you for being here. Thank you, Gunnar, for your time. And remember to stay connected and be remembered. Thanks for joining us. If today's show inspired you to make a new connection, why not start with me? Head over to LinkedIn and connect with me. Be sure to let me know you are a podcast listener because I select one listener each month who connects with me on LinkedIn for a complimentary profile audit. And you know I love to meet new people, so I hope you take me up on it. Don't forget to stay connected and be remembered.